The Treasury Salute, with Milo Bolton as guest narrator and featuring Robert Haig in a salute to a hero of the war, First Sergeant Floyd W. Ottaway. And now, the Treasury salute to Sergeant Floyd Ottaway.
It doesn't matter how big you are, what kind of an outfit you belong to, or what you did before the war, when an artillery shell hits and goes off alongside of you, it all adds up to the same thing. You have to start all over again planning your life from scratch. After Floyd Ottaway finished his basic training at Camp Pickett, Virginia in the summer of 1942, he was called into the orderly room for an assignment.
According to your record, Ottaway, you drove a truck after you got out of high school. Is that right?
Yes, Lieutenant, about 7 years.
Uh-huh. Played baseball, hockey, football, and basketball. Four-letter man, eh? You look like you're in pretty good physical shape. What do you weigh, about 200?
230, sir.
I see you have tank car down here as your first choice for assignment.
Yes, sir. I've driven everything from a 1.5-ton delivery wagon to a 50-foot trailer.
Ottaway, I'm afraid I'm going to have to disappoint you. We need tank drivers, all right, but we need ambulance drivers, too.
Ambulance? But that's miles behind where everything's going on.
No, Ottaway, it's not. You'll be trained as a medical corpsman. The medical corps is everywhere the front line is, and even out in front of that.
Yes, but it's so...
It's action. It's just as much action as infantry or tanks. The only difference is you don't carry a gun.
Floyd didn't carry a gun, but he carried a litter, blood plasma, sulfur, bandages, tourniquets, morphine, everything to make it easier for a wounded man to go on living. He was a real leader and he worked hard, and by the time his outfit shipped overseas, he was the top kick. And when Normandy was invaded, his big job was around Cherbourg, bringing in the wounded.
Okay, Sergeant Ottaway, you better take off and get some sleep. You'll be falling over right here in the tent.
It's all right, Captain. I'll knock off soon.
You've been on your feet since yesterday. There's no use killing yourself. You won't be any good that way.
I'm waiting for two men, Brand and Miller. They're from the 1st Platoon that just went off duty. I went out with them yesterday, and we've had no word on them. Now the 2nd Platoon's been out 6 hours, and still nobody's reported on either one of them.
I'll let you know if anything comes in, Sergeant.
There'll be plenty coming in, Doc. It's a green outfit in the line. 431 wounded went through here in the last 12 hours. That Cherbourg's a box of dynamite. Hey, here comes Lipton and Fowler with a litter.
No.
What have you got, Lipton?
It's Miller. He's unconscious. We gave him plasma and sulfur. There's a tourniquet. His foot's all gone.
His foot?
Yeah, looks like he stepped on a mine. And Brand, he's dead. Sniper bullet right in the head.
All right. Let's look at Miller. Yeah. Put him on the table in there, boys.
Yep.
Let's go, Ottaway.
I used to think a medic had a quiet rear echelon job.
After Cherbourg, Floyd Ottaway's outfit worked with the infantry south and westward to Brest, and then they turned east, pushing to Paris, on up past Lille into Belgium, and then back down again through the Marne River territory to Luneville, 50 miles west of Strasbourg in the Rhine Valley. That's more moving in 6 months than most people do in a lifetime. Then came the battle for Strasbourg, December 18, 1944. Floyd was going forward again in a jeep under fire with a party of four corps.
Jerry, artillery's really getting close, Floyd. Don't think we can get any further in the jeep. Too many holes in that field ahead.
Yeah, I guess you're right, Lipton. Okay, end of the line. You, Gordon, Williams, and Artie, take that sector on the right.
Okay, sir.
Lipton and I'll move up on the left. Let's go. We should be relieved in about 3 hours. Good luck.
Left it.
Yeah. You hurt bad, Floyd?
Help me stand up. My leg. Left arm. Who else got it?
Gordon and Williams. Artie's taking care of them.
Jeep sure got banged up.
Yeah.
Just stand me up.
Okay.
That's it.
Take it easy.
Thanks.
Oh, what a freak. Me catching it like this. I better learn to get out of the safe side of a Jeep.
Here, I'll put a tourniquet on that arm.
After the other two are taken. You and Artie team up.
You can't stand, Floyd. Lie down. We'll take in.
Come on, give me a hand. Okay. Thanks. Tie that tourniquet tighter.
Okay.
That's it. Go. Put one on the left leg.
You're crazy, Floyd. You ought to be lying down.
Shut up and put it on. That's it. I'll do the rest.
Where are you going?
I'm walking back to the command post.
You'll never make it.
We've got to get more karma out here. I'll make it.
Walking, stumbling, crawling, Floyd made it back to the command post and set out the urgently needed litter bearers. And then he started a long journey through channels, the same channels through which he had sent so many others on the road back to healing and home. Only this time, he was the man on the litter, moving back through battalion first aid to the collecting station, the clearing station, and then the evacuation hospital.
Ottaway, are you awake?
Huh? Oh, yes, Major. Just a little groggy from the dope.
We are operating on you this evening.
What's the score on me? On the leg?
It's a big wound. We're taking the deep shrapnel out. If no infection sets in, I think we can save it. You're a corpsman. You understand that.
Yes, sir. About the arm and hand. Any chance?
50-50. Most of the bones shot away in the arm, and there are several breaks in the hand.
Well, that means...
The only thing I can say for sure is that it's a long-term proposition and that it means you'll be shipped home.
Like this? I'm of no use this way to anybody.
Well, we'll do our best.
Nobody likes to come back here all torn up, even if, like Floyd, they have 8 decorations, including the Silver Star for heroism. But home's the best place with the best facilities in the world for handling a wounded man. So Floyd started through channels again to the 23rd General Hospital in southern France, where he had 2 more operations, and then to the 235th in Marseille for transfer to a hospital ship. His first stop back in the States was Stark General Hospital in Charlestown, South Carolina. And there he got a better idea of the score.
Well, the leg is clean out of the way. It'll heal. After that, we'll just have to wait and see how good we can make it. The bones in your hand are knitting, but the arm, well...
Do you think they'll have to...
Oh, no, no. It's hard to say just how good it'll be, but you won't lose it.
Thanks, Doc. I guess home isn't such a bad place after all.
Home for Floyd is Syracuse, New York. And in order to have him closer to it, he was moved to Halloran General Hospital on Staten Island. And then one day in the spring.
All right, big boy, the gold-bricking days are over.
You mean you're quitting, Lieutenant?
I mean Floyd Ottaway's getting up out of bed.
Oh, brother, here I come. Just watch me run.
Hey, take it easy. You better use this crutch.
How am I doing?
That's it.
Oh, boy, oh, boy. Look at me. Standing up as solid as an oak tree.
How's the leg feel?
Well, it's throbbing like a broken heart in a daytime radio serial.
Well, for a truck driver, you sure have some fancy language.
Not a truck driver, please. A knight of the highway.
All right, so knight, make track.
Okay. May I take 2 giant steps and fall flat in my face? Hey, look at me. I'm walking. Where's the doctor?
Don't worry, he'll see you later.
I don't want him to watch me, I want a furlough.
Floyd soon got a 30-day furlough and then was sent to Valley Forge General Hospital near Philadelphia.
It'll take at least 2 bone grafts and 2 or more operations on the tendons, and then physiotherapy. Well, you're an old pill roller yourself, Floyd. You've seen what wonderful things plastic surgery can do. But even miracles take time.
I've got time, Doc. But could you give me some kind of a date to shoot at?
Well, I can only estimate. It'll be at least a year, probably closer to 18 months here at Valley Forge.
18 months, huh? Well, that's not a pushover, is it, Doc? Well, I guess it's worth it. Driving a truck and a 20-ton trailer is rough work, but it's fun and I like it, and if I can do that again, I don't care how long it takes.
I don't think you ought to figure it that way, Floyd.
No? What do you mean?
I think you ought to forget about driving for a while. We can help build up that left hand, but the arm may not be quite strong enough for a long time.
Yeah, I see. I was really only kidding, Doc. I had an idea it was going to be like that.
Have you thought at all of what else you'd like to do for a living?
Well, in a way, I've always been interested in radio announcing. I've wanted to take courses in public speaking, but I've never had a chance to do anything on it.
Well, you can do it right here in the radio room.
Yeah?
After all, you won't be on the operating table all the time. And there'll have to be some conditioning on you before we can begin operating. Well, that's about all I can tell you.
Believe me, that's plenty, Doc. Just one more thing.
Yes?
I'm a sucker for punishment. Which way to the radio room?
Floyd studied radio when he wasn't tied down to a bed with splints and traction gadgets. He became the news broadcaster and did a large part of the announcing on the hospital radio station. He spoke before civic groups and clubs and over outside radio networks on behalf of the United States Savings Bond Program. And then, in March 1946, after he'd recovered from still another bone graft and tendon operation, the surgeon told him,
"The arm's even better than we'd hoped for, Floyd. And the hand really looks good."
"You know what, Doc? I tried to raise the mic in the radio room yesterday with the left hand, and I did. I tell you, I almost announced it with the news."
"Well, it won't be long now. We think we can clear it up with only one more bone graft and tendon operation. If everything goes okay, you should be out of here by September."
"6 months? Why, that's practically a local delivery, Doc. Or I should say, as a budding radio man, it's a quick fade from your operating room to my living room."
"That's right. Home.
Home. That's where you can walk in without a crutch and hang your hat up with either hand. Brother, that's for me."
This may be a turning point in your life and that of your whole family. You've often heard the expression, it's just as easy to form a good habit as it is a bad one. But have you really believed it? During the war, you and I and millions of other Americans formed the habit of investing regularly each payday in government bonds. That was a good habit. And honestly now, did we miss the money we invested? Of course not. We got along just as well as ever, with the one difference that we had something to back us up. We should keep up that good habit now and put regularly each payday a good percentage of our pay in United States savings bonds. We'll never be sorry we did. The United States Treasury thanks Milo Bolton, Robert Haig, and the other distinguished artists who appeared on this specially transcribed program. The Treasury Salute was written by Malvin Farmer and directed by Mark Goodson. The music was under the direction of Mark Warnow. This is George Putnam speaking. Remember, buy United States savings bonds and hold them. They are an investment in the future, your country's future and your future.